on his God for strength. He'll have to depend on his God for his strength. And in our Nehemiah series, we see over and over again the theme of building God's kingdom. Of building God's kingdom, right? And so we've trekked through Nehemiah and we've kind of gone on this adventure with him, right? We were in the palace with him and we know that God put it on his heart to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem and that God broke him for a mission. God broke him for a purpose. God broke him for a plan. Right? And so he begins to pray and pray and pray. We call that intercession, when you're just praying about something over and over in depth. And so he does that, right? And then we go to chapter 2, and he's approaching the king, and he's praying as he's approaching the king, asking God for his favor. And again, we've gone through these small victories, through influential times of leadership, and we're reminded by Nehemiah and his life of leadership that leadership is influence, right? Leadership equals influence. We're reminded by Nehemiah and his life that leadership is by and large influence. And today I want you to see that when God gives you influence, he will also cultivate inside of you a dependence on him. That so many times we get in the rigmarole of we get so by ourselves, willing to move forward by ourselves, that we don't lean on God, right? How many times when you're raising a child, do you raise the child so that they can be, starts with a D, dependent, right? They're going to be dependent. They are self-sufficient. You can let them fly on their own. But the crazy thing about our relationship with God is, yes, he wants us to grow. Yes, he wants us to mature. Yes, he wants us to move out in things that take a lot of character. But does he want us to fly out of his nest, if you will? He wants us to be dependent on him. That no matter how long we've been a leader, no matter how long we've done our occupation, no matter how long we've been married, or no matter how long we've been a parent, no matter what role we play as an influencer, we are still dependent on him, still cultivating that dependence on God. And again, I just stress it over and over again that so many times when we're facing the mountain, right? We're facing problems, we're facing issues, we're facing trials, right? It's so easy to depend on God, right? We've been there, right? And where it's just like, okay, I'm depending on you, God. I'm depending on you. If this doesn't happen, I don't know what's going to happen. But when we get to the top of the mountain, that is the place where we feel secure, where we feel at home, where we feel accomplished, that we begin to go, huh, you know what? I think I got this. I think I'm all right. And again, confidence is not a bad thing. But when we get into this lifestyle of learning, sometimes we can become self-sufficient. We can begin to coast. Kind of like, I got this thing, God. I don't need your help. Prayer and dependence go hand in hand. Prayer and trust in your leader go hand in hand. The people of God had to put their trust in Nehemiah, and they had to say, we are going to run with you in this mission, Nehemiah. We're going to run in this mission with you. And we are on board, and we are together, and we are linked arms, and we're going to go forward. Again, this was a question of connection. This was a question of, again, dependence on God. So how do we measure our dependence on the Lord? How do we measure our dependence on the Lord? We measure the dependence on the Lord through prayer. Through prayer. That my question today to you is, are you praying? Are you praying every day? Are you praying for our church? Are you praying for your pastor? We need a raw dependence on God. And my heart here at Mitchell Assembly is that we would cultivate a culture of prayer. Cultivate a culture of prayer. Every church says that they pray. But do we have a culture of prayer? And I believe, as your pastor, as a leader here at Mitchell Assembly, it is part of my job to, like when you're planting stuff in the ground, you've got to cultivate the soil, right? You've got to churn it up. Before you can put corn or soybeans or whatever you're going to put in there, you have to churn up the ground and get it ready. And I believe with prayer is the same thing. When we want a culture of prayer to begin, it starts first here. Yes, it starts with your pastor and it starts in your heart. It starts inside of you, that you begin to till the ground of your heart so that you can grow a crop. It all starts with a seed first, right? But I would even beg to kind of differ in this sermon with that, that it starts first with cultivating the ground. Because if you don't cultivate in prayer, you can throw the seed on what? On dry ground. You can throw the seed where there's thorns, right? Or you can throw seed where there's good soil, where you produce 10, 100-fold, right? And so again, we're going to be developing the culture of prayer. And Nehemiah knows what it means to pray. We've kind of gone through that here, where he's gone through all these chapters that we walked through, and he's prayed, and he's prayed, and he's prayed, and he's prayed. He prayed again and again and again. And I just want to share with you, you know what? We're going to have trials as a church, and you're going to have trials in your own life. But I thank God for trials. Now, that's on my good days. Some on my bad days, I'm like, God, trials. I don't want it anymore. You know, but I believe it's a good thing. And the reason being is when you have a trial, when you have a challenge, then you begin to lean on God. And you begin to ask him for really big things. And you begin to ask him for miracles to work that people may come to know Christ like never before. And there that raw dependence is where we call on God. So I'm thankful as a church when we can even say, you know what, we've got this trial here. We've got this issue here. We've got this thing here. Because it sets us up for a miracle. It sets us up for a miracle. You know, Jesus said, what kind of, you know, it's the lenses question, isn't it? What kind of lens are we looking through? Through the eyes of faith? Because without faith, it's impossible to please God, right? Are we looking at without the eyes of faith? Things begin to get a little blurry when we don't look with the eyes of faith. All we see is the thing right in front of us. We tend to be nearsighted when it comes to faith. But when we look through the lenses of faith, it starts becoming clear. It starts becoming clear. Verse 9, chapter 6 says, "But I prayed, now strengthen my hands." This is the key to this verse. This is the key to what goes on here, is in this verse. Nehemiah knows where his power source is. It comes from God. It comes from God. Prayer, this prayer where he says, God, my prayer, he says, I pray, God, strengthen my hands. Strengthen my hands. This prayer is twofold. Secondly, he's saying, God, shoot an inward strength on the inside of me because I'm weak and I need your strength. But then secondly, it's saying, God, we pray that you would prosper the work that we're doing. That you would prosper the work that you're doing. And speaking of little things, I don't think that this is working here. So, oh, here, hold on just a second. Okay, no. All right, so I'm just going to have you follow me, okay? If you go to the next slide there, again, Nehemiah 6, 9, "But now, O God, strengthen my hands." And if you go to the next slide after that. I want you guys to, you can write these down, internalize them. Again, prayer, problems can come masked in peace. If we would go back to those 3 points there, that would be great. Problems can come masked in peace. Secondly, keep your eyes on the job. Problems can come masked in peace. Secondly, keep your eyes on the job. And thirdly, pray for strength and operate in wisdom. Don't think you can make it on your own. It all comes down to continued dependence. If you look Nehemiah 6, starting in verse 1, "When word came to Sanballat, Tobiah, Geshem the Arab, and the rest of our enemies that I had rebuilt the wall and not a gap was left in it, though up to that time I had not set the doors and the gates, Sanballat and Geshem sent me this message, 'Come, let us meet together in one of the villages on the plain of,'" oh no, If you go to the next slide there. Oh no, that's what I'm saying. But they were scheming to harm me, goes on to the next verse. So I sent messengers to them with this reply: I am carrying on a great project and I cannot go down. Why should the work stop while I leave it and go down to you? Four times they sent me the same message, and each time I gave them the same answer. Then in verse 5, then the fifth time, Sanballat sent his aide to me with the same message, and in his hand was an unsealed letter. Make a note of that. Unsealed letter, in which it was written, it's reported among the nations, and Geshem says it's true. You ever hear somebody like that when they're spreading rumors? Hey, somebody said it's true, so it really is. That you and the Jews are plotting to revolt, and therefore you're building the wall. Moreover, according to these reports, you're about to become their king, and have even appointed prophets to make this proclamation about you in Jerusalem. There's a king in Judah. Now this report will get back to the king, warning you. I'm warning you. This is going to get back to the king. So come, let us meet together. I sent him this reply: nothing like what you're saying is happening. You are just making it up out of your head. You're just making it up out of your head. They were all trying to frighten us, thinking their hands will get too weak for the work and it will not be completed. But then Nehemiah prayed, but I prayed, now strengthen my hands. Now strengthen my hands. So problems can come masked in peace, can't they? That it looks like something, but it's kind of a bait and switch, right? And the reason why I have the mask there, again, that kind of idea, the devil is a schemer, and he will try and lower us any way that he can. The enemy's tactics changed, and I want you to see this. Sanballat, Tobiah, all of his enemies changed from brute force. We're going to come, we're going to break down your wall, and we're going to attack you. They went from force to fraud. We're going to start making up things, and we're going to ask you, oh, here, come on, just meet with us together. Harmless enough, right? Let's just sit down and talk about the problems we have with you in building the wall. Let's just talk about it. The word oh no in this valley that they're talking about has a connotation and meaning of lions, okay? It's like they're sending him to the lion's den. It's about 27 miles away from Jerusalem, and they're saying, come out of your safety, come out of your place of influence, and come on, just take a 27-mile walk over here. And by the way, everybody over here is enemies to you and angry and upset. And so again, so he comes over and he says, no, I will not come over, right? He doesn't come over. That was a trick, okay? Just kidding. So he says, no. And what I love with this example and what he says is, what is his reply? What is his reply? He answers to them and he says, I am carrying on a great project, or another translation is a great work, and I cannot come down. I am too busy doing the mission of God to get caught up in the things of this world. Now, does that mean that we're not going out and ministering to people that are in need? That we're not going out and ministering to people that are seekers, that are looking for something, and we want to share with them the truth? Of course not. You know, Paul said, don't hang around with adulterers and murderers and fornicators. But he's saying within the church. Like when people are like, yeah, I'm a Christian. Yeah, we're sleeping together. It's all right. I'm a Christian. What? You know, again, this whole idea of I've committed myself to Christ, and then I'm just going to say, I can do whatever I want. I can live however I want, and I want you to tell me it's okay. Paul says, don't have a part of that. Don't have a part of that. But he said, for you not to be in the world, to be a light, like, that's crazy talk. This is much paraphrase, okay? Paul probably didn't say crazy talk, all right? But again, it was this essence of what was Nehemiah's answer? How did he answer? You know, Nehemiah was being wise as a serpent and meek as a dove. A wise as a serpent and meek as a dove. And that it's so important. That's found in Matthew 10:16, if you're wondering where wise as a serpent and meek as a dove is. And so Nehemiah, how did he answer? He answered in a way, it was very diplomatic, wasn't it? He didn't say, you're trying to destroy me, you're trying to do this, you're trying to do that. He didn't attack back, did he? He wasn't trying to retaliate. He just answered it in a very diplomatic way. Listen, I'm doing a very good work. I can't come down. Now, the second point is keep your eyes on the job. Keep your eyes on the job. That, again, Paul said, I press on toward the goal to win the prize. Philippians 3:14. I keep my eyes on the prize. He warns us, and Proverbs 4:27 warns us too. It says, do not look to the right or the left, but keep your foot from evil. Keep on the path. Why is that so important? Because we can so quickly get distracted with other things. We can get so hung up on different things. And he's saying that Solomon's saying, keep to the goal. Don't look to the left. This is my right, but it's your left, okay? Don't look to the right, but keep straight forward with your eyes on the prize. And this is what Nehemiah was doing. He was keeping his eyes on the job. I think worry can get us off the path, don't you? I think disappointments can get us off the path. I think that fear can get us off the path. And let me ask you this question. If Christ brought you this far, don't you think that he can get you the rest of the way there? Amen? That he has plans to prosper you, not to harm you. When you're in the plans and purposes of God, and you're acting out the character of God, and you're living out who he is and what he's doing in your life, he is going to put everyone in the right position. And I believe that for Mitchell Assembly as well. Don't you think he can get Mitchell Assembly of God where he wants us to go? That, again, he's going to work things out. He's going to choreograph things, and we get to be a piece of that, and we get to be a part of that. And, again, I am a firm believer that God is going to take us great places. Now, just a few weeks ago, I preached on getting on board, getting involved. And I completely believe that every one of you has a job here at Mitchell Assembly of God. Everyone has a part. Everyone has an ordained task that God wants you to do. Now, my part is to share that with you. Your part is then to seek the Lord and find out what those parts are. And then to respond and say, I want to volunteer. I want to take part. I want to plug in so God can use me effectively here for his kingdom purposes. And so that is so key, so important. My call to you is get in the boat, row with us. I always say it's easier to criticize outside the boat than it is inside the boat, right? Because when you're outside, you're like, it's veering. Can't you see that? I have a suggestion for you, right? But when you're inside the boat and you're like, oh, Jesus, we need you, calm the storm. I think we need to move over a little bit. I think that carries a lot more stamina. I think it carries a lot more stature and strength because you're in the boat. You're sweating with us. You're moving it with us. So it's not a suggestion from a very analytical understander of boat movement. You're in the boat. You're on board. And then you're suggesting, you're sharing the concerns, you're sharing the needs. Sam Ballett, Tobiah, Gershom, they weren't in the boat. They were outside the wall. They weren't in the wall. They weren't building the wall. They just wanted to destroy the wall. I'll leave you with that on that part. So again, our job is to seek, to depend on him and to take action. Especially when we face difficult situations, we have to lean on the Lord. We have to develop perseverance. Did you think Nehemiah had to have perseverance to say no over and over and over again? He had to say no 4 times right? And, you know, have you ever had that? I mean, with my kids, they're like, Daddy, can we go to the park? I'll let you know. Daddy, can we go to the park? It's very, they're developing perseverance, okay? So sometimes I don't like it, but they're developing perseverance. But I have to develop perseverance too from their things that they say, right? And I have to be the leader and say, well, yes, we can, or no, we can't. And sometimes I'm able to explain to them and get on their level and tell them exactly why. And sometimes I'm just like, I'm your dad. Listen. Okay? And so there's that aspect, right, of leadership and parenting and all those things that take place. But again, he had to persevere, right? Keep on persevering. And my challenge to you is the same. Keep on persevering, even when a sand ballot comes your way. When a sand ballot, when a Tobiah comes in your life and just keeps on hitting you and it keeps on annoying you and keeps on doing things that just get under your skin, stay persevering. Stay on the path. Don't turn to my left, my right, your left, your right, but stay straight with the focus on the prize. The Bible says in Ephesians 6:12, we do not battle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers in the heavenly sphere. So many times we want to get upset at the person that's standing right in front of us. But we don't battle against flesh and blood. Maybe they had a bad day. Maybe they're overly tired. Maybe they have such horrible stuff that has happened in their past that affects them, the lenses and how they see currently. Right? And this is where we see you're not the enemy. The person that's given you hard times or difficulty, they're not the enemy. The devil is. And we need to see that we don't battle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and the rule in the heavenly sphere. That Nehemiah was, again, it's not doesn't mean that we don't ever confront. It doesn't mean that we don't ever do things about it to handle the situation, but we need to see where the source is coming from. It's not the person. We need to see beyond the person to the real source. The real source. Nehemiah was not afraid to confront. He said it like it is. He said, nothing like what you're saying is happening. You're just making it up in your head. You're just making it up in your head. There was a time when he gently turned their requests, right? When they asked to see him over and over again, he was gentle in that. I'm doing a work. But they sent an unsealed letter. And in that letter, they said, you have a Messiah complex. Because what they said was that the prophets are getting ready to declare the Davidic king. Who's the Davidic king? The Messiah, Jesus. So he was not only claiming, you guys are going to revolt, you guys are just making up this plan. He's saying, you are twisting your scriptures, and you're saying you're the Messiah. And you're grabbing prophets, and you're going to do this, and you're going to do that. And he says, that's a lie. You are just making it up in your own head. I always get interested about the details. You know, traditionally, when you sent a letter from one person to another, it was sealed. Do you know why it wasn't unsealed? Why it was unsealed? Because they wanted to spread gossip. They wanted that letter to go to every person that had their hands on it, because they could read it and slip it right back in and give it right to Nehemiah. And anybody that had to pass it, hey, you want to check this out? It's like those little love you notes that you send as a little kid, like, check yes or no if you like me. As you're passing it, every little girl's reading that, ooh, this is going to be, this is so great. You know? And so everybody's talking that. I remember I did something way embarrassing. It was Valentine's Day, and I really liked this girl. And so I had a rose in my bag and this big piece of chocolate. It was like gargantuan because I'm like, girls love chocolate. Go for big. And so I have it in my bag, and I'm like shaking because I'm so nervous at the time. Remember, I was very introverted at the time. We were in French class of all places. You know the language of romance? Oui, oui. All right, so I'm waiting till the end of the bell. Now, the reason why I'm waiting till the end of the bell is I figure if I can just give it to her and run, I will be safe, okay? Safe of class embarrassment, okay? But it was like that bell. So I got it out. I'm like, here, Nicole. And I gave it to her. And I was so shy. I was such a shy kid. I'm like, here, Nicole. Check yes or no. I'm just kidding. It wasn't on there. And I handed her the flower. And that bell seemed like an hour before the bell rang. I'm sitting there being like, I can't believe that. And oh, man, that was a hard day. And that was like fifth period. And we didn't end until ninth period. So I had a girl coming up to me. That was so sweet. You gave that to Nicole. You know, it was one of those things. So, you know, it's like the letter passing. It's like this thing where it's building and building and building, and this momentum is building. And Nehemiah has to trust God that when he states this statement that he's not the Messiah, nor is he claiming to be the Messiah, that not only will he squelch, not only will he stop the comments and the lies that have been spread, but that he will, in this statement, in his dependence on God, knock out all the rumors that were behind it. That's a powerful prayer. That's a powerful prayer. Lord God, strengthen my hands. Strengthen inside me and strengthen the work that I'm doing. So I need your help. I need your help. I can't stop this fire, but I know you can. I know that you can. What a powerful statement, huh? What a powerful statement to say, again, let's keep our focus on what's before us, but let's not be afraid to confront an issue that's at hand, and let's be willing to still speak softly, to still, you know, the Bible says that God is slow to anger, that he's quick to love, that he's quick to forgive. Now, does God pour out his wrath? He sure does. And it's not just in the Old Testament. Check out Revelation. Okay? It's coming. Not to be scary, but there is a time where God will be the righteous judge, and he will lay down the smack. You can quote me on that, all right? He will. But at the same time, he is slow to anger, quick to love, because he wants all of us to come to him, doesn't he? He wants that none should perish, but all that would have everlasting life. But we have to respond to that. We have to connect with him. Are we going to be enemies of God, or are we going to be building the wall with him? Are we going to be building the wall with him? Because we believe that he was sinless, that he came a virgin birth, that he died a harmful and horrible death, and he rose from the dead for you and I. Defeated hell, death, and the grave, and raised as our Messiah, as our soon and coming King. What a powerful statement. Nehemiah knew when to step back and say, God, you are my wall, and I will hide in you. I will take refuge in you, because I'm not the Messiah. You are. Sometimes we just need to hide behind the wall. And I don't mean fearful, and I don't mean laid back in terms of apathetic. I mean that the righteous run into it and they are saved. That he is a stronghold for us. That we don't have to be the Messiah because he is. We don't have to have a Messiah complex because we know who our strength is and who's leading us and what he's doing in our life. He is providing, number three, strength, and he's providing wisdom for us. He says, I'm asking for his strength. I'm asking for his wisdom. In the same way as your pastor, I'm praying for strength. I'm praying for wisdom. I'm praying that God would continue to move on us. I will tell you, Teen Challenge is coming, and we're going to, again, that little announcement was not just a little announcement. We're putting in the paper on Saturday, this coming Saturday and the Saturday after, to say Teen Challenge is coming. And we put free lunch too. So that might get people even as, oh, free lunch. I don't even know who Teen Challenge is, but they got free lunch. But I don't care. I really don't care. I don't care if they come for the free lunch. Do you think people came for the free lunch when they saw Jesus multiply the loaves and the fishes? Jesus even rebuked them because they kept on doing that, but they didn't get the substance of what he was teaching, right? But again, Jesus was like, hey, I'm providing the free lunch. Let's feed 5,000. I'm not saying that next June 8th, okay? But we're praying that God would bring people in, maybe for the free lunch, maybe for the testimony about Teen Challenge, but that we would be at our best as a church when they come. And I don't mean at our best. I mean at our best. That our hearts would be so to reach out to these people that maybe haven't walked into a church, maybe haven't walked into a church in years, but you could come up to them. And you could reach out to them, and life change could take place. Teen Challenge Sunday is going to be a life-changing Sunday. Will you begin to pray? Will you begin to pray every day? Say, God, bring people in here. I don't care if it's for the free lunch. I don't care if it's for... You guys need to bring the food, okay? So it's not a free lunch for you, okay? So it's an unselfish prayer, okay, when you're praying this. But you're saying, God, bring them. Connect them. Bring them from afar. Whatever friends I can ask. Hey, I know you may do this on Sunday normally. You may go golf on Sunday. It's getting warm out. Come here. You may be doing this. Come here. Experience life change. Experience life change in a powerful way. As I mentioned before about during announcements that Katie is with us as our intern, I went up to Trinity with Natalie, my wife, and we drove up there to get an intern. Well, we got one, so praise the Lord, mission accomplished. But not only that was the only cool thing, because I was praying like, God, do you want me to just sum up Nehemiah? I mean, we've been in it for a while. Okay, and maybe God, you want us to move on to something else. And so I was just praying that in the back of my heart and mind, and got there, and when I did the announcements, of course, I was like, crikey, right now we're here from Mitchell Assembly, and we want people to come for children's ministry. They might bite you. And if they do, you're gonna for sure, right? And so I did my Steve Irwin, right, impression, and I turned around, Kermit the Frog here, as you guys heard last time. And so I started doing that, again, because children's ministry, right? You want somebody with a heart for children's ministry. If you're fishing for trout, you use a certain kind of bait. If you're fishing for another kind of fish, you use a different kind of bait. So my accents are a little bit of the bait, right? So anyways, Katie ran right up to us after, so she was so stoked and so excited. But when I sat down, Trinity alumni got up, and they opened up, and they said, I'd like to be sharing with you from the book of Nehemiah. I'd like to share with you the book of Nehemiah. And the sermon that she preached was where Nehemiah said, I am about doing a good work, and I can't come down. What a powerful thing, huh? That God just wanted to echo into Pastor John's ears. John, you're doing a good work. Don't look to the right. Don't look to the left. Keep your eyes focused ahead, because I have some great plans for Mitchell Assembly of God and the people of St. Mitchell Assembly of God. What it was. It was like inside of me, like, yeah, I'm writing down notes, copious notes, you know, and everything too. And it was a dynamic message. And it was so, so awesome. But how amazing is God that he coordinates not only the time that we need to be there for Katie to come, which is fantastic, and it's going to transform not only the kids' lives, but your lives will be affected by Katie as well. But God brings me right that week. You know, and sometimes you're thinking as a pastor, you're like, hey, why didn't they ask me? I'm driving all the way here. Why didn't they ask me to speak? And you could get offended like this. That's not usually how I get offended, but you may get offended, you know? And so I was like, you know what? No. If I can just do the announcement, I'll drive an hour and a half, you know, or whatever. I think it was longer. How long does it take to get to Trinity? About 2 to 3, okay. We got this big variation. Some slow speed, some very fast speeders. But anyway, so we're there, you know, and we're making the trek, and we're doing this for the church. And, you know, sometimes we can come into church like that, can't we? Like, hey, things didn't work out. Oh, why am I not up there? You know? God has a message for you. And if you will come into a place where you open up your heart and you say, God, speak to me. Speak to me. He will orchestrate and he will plan and he will make the endeavor and he will do awesome things. If our worship team would come up, I want you to just come up and you're going to take communion. Again, we have here the symbols of the body of Christ and the blood of Christ. And they're going to come, and then they're going to begin to lead us in worship. And then I just want you to pray, even in this moment, as they're taking communion. If you would take communion, guys. And then as you do that, and as you prepare, my challenge to you this morning is what we're going to do is we're going to have you come up one by one, take communion, and I'm going to be over here, and I asked the other board members that are available to come up. I want you to come up, and we want to pray with you. We want to pray with you. Maybe once again, you're in that place where you have to say, again, God, I need to depend on you again. And maybe you've taken yourself and you said, I've become self-sufficient. I've become in a place where I didn't think I need you anymore. And maybe you need to renew that dependence on him. Maybe you need prayer because you're going through personal issues and you realize you need to give God control. Maybe you realize you need God and you want to commit your life to him. It's easy to commit your life to him because it was all his work. It was all his work. Again, it's not easy to be a Christian. I'm not saying that. But it's easy to take this first initial step and be like, I'm yours. And so please come up to us for prayer regarding that. And then again, too, maybe you've done something this week that you've played the part of a sandballot. Maybe it was in your workplace. Maybe you said something or did something maybe you shouldn't have done or said. And you want to just say, God, take it away. Take it away, God. And maybe God is even now putting on your heart that you're supposed to volunteer, that you're supposed to get involved in the church in a new way. And I believe that God has room for you there, that we're going to start in the future. But I believe that it starts with just letting your pastor know and saying, I want to help somewhere, or I feel like I could help here or could help there. Maybe God's stirring you up. Would you stand with me as we just close this service? Lord God, we just thank you for how you move in our lives, God. We thank you that, God, that you are the God of all compassion, that you are a God that so is quick to love, Lord God, quick to forgive, God, slow to anger, rich in love. We thank you for your work. We thank you for what you're doing in us and through us. We thank you for building your kingdom here, God, and we thank you that you use us. That you use us, God, that we're deemed worthy by the blood of the Lamb, that we're deemed worthy by the work of the cross and what you've done in this and through us, God. We ask that you would bless, Lord God, as Sunday school is coming soon, and God, in just a few, God, and we ask that, God, that you would bless all that are here, Lord God, as they've come to saturate in you, come to worship, come to hear your word, Lord God. Help us to apply it in our lives. In Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. God bless you guys.